Yes, yes.
Assistants aren't here?
I don't, not today, no.
Not today.
Hope they're okay.
I hope they're okay, yes.
You're right.
All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Somebody please remind me at the end of class that I should make an announcement. You know what, nobody will remember to remind me, so you know what, I'll make the announcement right now. Isn't that smart? One thing, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm going to go to town and I have, you know, I don't know if I have the ghost flying around to this way, you understand? I have to go all the way to Hanover. I have to be away next week with an important assignment, things that have to be done. You know, I never just take all my qualifications. I don't even know what to do. Enough narcissism. There will definitely be a tremendous person taking my place next week, but I'm not sure. I'll have to wait to see Tucker Tidbits tomorrow. I just want to point out that our dear student of long standing, Mrs. Tava Fakla, has her daughter visiting with us from London, and we're so thrilled to welcome her to our little intimate class that we have over here. Welcome. All right. This year was created for Parashat Shemot 1974. And at some point during this year, I will explain to you what it was that happened in 1974 that triggered all of these ideas. One of my favorite children, and since I'm going to be at a convention of rabbis this coming Shabbos, and I've been asked to speak at Shalosh Shudas, so of course you are all sworn to secrecy, because I'm, and especially Fadi Kahana is sworn to secrecy, because her husband's going to be there, and I don't want to say, you know, I know what he's going to talk about. And I'm even switching at the last minute. But all right. I have a deep emotional connection to this year. So, let's go. You have before you the text of God revealing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, burning bush. Hold on to your seats. We're going to start reading. We may skip a little bit. But there are many questions to be asked here. By last count, I had 18 questions on the parasha. And the most amazing thing of all is that all 18 questions, one answer. That's pretty good to be able to pull off something like that. 18 questions with one answer. I don't know if I'll be able to reconstruct all of the 18 questions, but it makes no difference. You'll get the idea. Anyway, here it is. Let's go. Moshe Hayar Roeh Tzon Yitro Chotein Chotno Toi Vigyan. Moshe was the shepherd for his father-in-law. By Yinhagat Hatzon Acham Midbar. And he guided the sheep out into the wilderness. And unbeknownst to him, by Yavol Harba Elokim Chorev, he came to the mountain of God. Chorev. Chorev is Sinai. By Yego Malach Hashem Elav Elavateish, and an angel of God appeared to him in a blaze of fire, Mitoch HaSneh, from the bush. By Yami Sovi Neh HaSneh. Boy, beish, something fascinating. More than fascinating. The bush is burning, and it's not consumed. HaSneh, and it will go. And a snare is a desert, a dry desert plant that should be consumed in seconds, gone. And here it is, it's burning and it's burning and it's not consumed. By Yom Moshe, Moshe said, I'm going to turn and see that Hamara HaGadol HaZeh. I'm going to see his great sight. Madhuala Yirashma, why doesn't the bush burn? Why doesn't it become consumed? Vayar Hashem Kisod, the road God saw that he had turned to see. Vayikroi level of Kito has said God calls to him from the midst of the bush. Vayomer, he said, Moshe, Moshe. Vayomer, and Moshe said, Hineni, here I am. Vayomer, and God said to him, Tikrafo Halon, don't come closer here. Shalom, Alecho, Me'al, Raglecho, take your shoes off your feet. Kamakom, Asherakau, Megalav, Admat Kodeshu. The land upon which you tread is holy land. Holy land. Vayomer, and God now introduces himself to
Moshe.
Onochi. Onochi. Elokei Avichai, the God of the Father, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, and Moshe covered his face by asking Moshe Ponot Ki Yorei, because he was afraid may Habit El Elokim from looking at God. Vayomer Hashem, God said, Ra'or Ra'iti et Oni Ami, I have seen the affliction of my people, Hashem and Mitzrayim, Hor in Egypt, that Sakatana, their cry, Shamati, with the notes of before the taskmasters, Ki Yodati, I know at my Chovav, I know his pain. I know the pain of the Jewish people who are enslaved in Egypt. For Eidei L'Hatzilah, I'm going down to save them from the Yom Mitzrayim, from the hands of Egypt. L'Halotom and Ahoretz Ahim, you know what I plan on doing? I plan on taking them up from that land to Eretz Tova Urechava, to a good and broad, wide land, you understand? So, from sea to shining sea, imagine how wide this country is, you understand? And, Rechava, of course, means a great deal more than physical width by miles. It's a land that encompasses so much. Let it Zoras hollow lush, a land flowing with mixed milk and honey. This is the first time in Torah that we hear God himself describing Eretz Yisrael as the land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm going to bring them there. I'm going to take them to the place of those nations. Interesting, of course, that there are only six here, there are supposed to be seven nations. Just a quick look tells me that the Girgashi is not mentioned. And of course, ultimately we're going to find out that the Girgashi left the country of their own accord. Ha-Girgashi Ponola Africa. The Girgashi left for Africa, so there were only six that would ultimately remain. We are talking now in Eitz Arkabnei, the soil, boy, like the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, become Ra'iti, and I've seen it. Halachatz, Asher Tzrayim, Lo Chatzim El Tam. I see the oppression, the lachatz that they're placing on the Jewish people. Va'ato. Now comes the charge. Lecho, go. Ve'shlachacho El Paro. I'm going to send you to Paro Bahutsei, et Ami Yisroel b'nei Yisroel b'Mitzrayim. Take my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Take my people, Israel, out of Egypt. We would have expected, or we have the right to expect, that Moshe Rabbeinu's response should be the great one-word response. Who's the great one-word response? Rivka is asked, will you go with this man? You're going to go off to who knows where? Somebody you never met? You're going to go off there and marry this chassid you never met? And then a great answer. Malish, it's like one of the great answers of history. And when the German only sent a message to the commander of the American army to surrender at the Battle of the Bulge, because it was getting the worst. So the great answer of the American general was, nuts to you. Right? Over here it's one word. Rivka answers, Inlech, I will go. I would have expected that Moshe Rabbeinu is told, go to Pharaoh, save my people Israel, that Moshe Rabbeinu would say, I'm leaving now. I'm going. That's not what happens. We have another 30, 40 children in a parasha where there's going to be a struggle of wills between Moshe and the Rabbeinu. He doesn't want to go. For heaven's sake, why doesn't he want to go? Yeah. And I know what many of the Mepharshim say. I have difficulty with it. It's not going to be my approach. That Moshe Rabbeinu was the meekest, the unof of all people on the face of this earth. Somebody's drowning. No, I can't jump in. I don't want to. Tomorrow they'll have my picture in the papers, and I'll get a medal from the mayor of the city. I don't want all the cover. I can't stand it. Let the guy drown. What are you talking about? You're mad. Is this a moment at which you start thinking about your own great anivus? Am Yisrael has to be rescued from the Messiah. Vayomer, Moshe. Moshe's response is not the response that we would have expected. Moshe's response, Vayomer Moshe Elokim. Moshe said to Elokim, Mi anochi, who am I, ki elech el Paro, that I should go to Paro, v'chi otzi et bnei Yisrael min Mitzrayim, and that I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt. We're going to see this year that there are going to be 5 refusals. 5 distinct and separate refusals. We're also going to see that it's going to take place over a period of 7 days. God and Moshe at the finish. Oh, Shalai, what's happening over here? Quite as full of suffering, God wants to take them out. He has asked Moshe to go, and Moshe said, no. What's happening over here? Go. Moshe said, who am I? Who am I? You know, it sounds as though this is real, anivus, it's humility, vas, va'anochi, ofo, va'eser. I am Avraham Avinu, when he's praying for stone, he says that I'm dust. I'm dust and ash, I'm nothing. But wait a minute, that same Avraham Avinu who says he's dust and ash, when he finds out that his nephew Lot has been captured, he's no longer dust and ash. He gathers his forces. The midnight ride of Avraham Avinu, when he crushes the four most powerful nations of the world. Klal Yisrael is waiting to be rescued. And Moshe says, no, for heaven's sake. I know the answer, but just for purpose of drama, I don't get it. Vayomer, and the Rishon is very, I tell you, it takes a great deal of patience. The Rishon says, I'm going to be with you. And this is the sign that I have sent you to take the people out of Egypt. This mountain, you're going to bring them here to serve God on this mountain. The numbers on the side of the sheet are the numbers of the refusals. By Yomer, Moshe Elohim, Moshe said to Elohim, Hinei Anochi Po, El Bnei Yisrael V'Amarti Lahem, behold, I will come to the children of Israel and I'll tell them, Elokei Avotechem Shlachani Elechem, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, V'Amuli, and they're going to say to me, Mashmo, what is his answer? Ma'omar alayim, what am I going to say to them? I don't really know what's bothering him? Maybe he's worried that they're going to ask, could you please give us this God's Tudansehut number, like, who is he? The God of their fathers. It seems to be just a, I would say, a delaying tactic on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want to go. There's really another big question. There's the two top questions in this whole parasha. Why he refuses, you know what? Why sometime in the middle of the week doesn't the Rebbe Shem simply turn around and say, Moshe, you don't want to do it? Look at that. Stay with your sheep here. Keep working for your dear father-in-law. I'll find somebody else. The Rebbe Shem seems to be intent. It must be Moshe. Why? He doesn't even want to go. Stop treating me as somebody else. It's failed to the bench when you can't find somebody to do it. Now, I really don't want to get political, but I do have to make a very significant comment that may be lost on a lot of people. Do you know what's taking place over here? Wait a minute. Sure, nobody hears it outside this room. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was practicing? Sfirut Pikuda. He's refusing orders. Refusing orders. Hey, get Netanyahu. Get Sidney Lindy. Refusing orders. Okay, Mr. Bucky. Refusing orders. In other words, there are three cardinal sins. And the sin that is greater than all of them is Sidney Pikuda. A soldier will say, I can't throw Jews out of their homes in Eretz Yisrael. That's become the great crime. And if you refuse of that, wow, you're just lower than the low. I didn't even want to describe how low you are. So I happen to be very proud that on that July day in 1995, I was one of nine Habonim with Avrom Shapira when we cast in Sirul Pikudah. Soldiers should not agree to pay their Jews out of their homes and Eretz Yisrael. Oh, do you know how much blood would have been saved? How many lives would have been saved if soldiers, in fact, would have practiced that? Then they know that they have no backing from an army to forcibly remove Jews from their homes. Shom Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, the human being, first one, commander-in-chief, he's the Hamakal, to be of the Israeli, the Jewish people, he refuses orders. Wow. When I first said this, how many years ago was 1974? I can't do the
arithmetic.
39 years ago. 39 years ago. I didn't even know what, I never even had heard the term Siruf Pikuda. So, but here it is, Siruf Pikuda. Moshe refuses. Okay? God said to Moshe, I'm the one who will be them with them by Yom, and he said, so this is what you should say to the children of Israel, Eheyeh shlochani aleichem, Eheyeh has sent me unto you. Vayomer oh, Elokim el Moshe. Now Moshe is, God is now giving his second speech of encouragement to Moshe. The first one was, I've heard the cry, I want to save them, and I want to take them up to that wide land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the Rebbeinu's second speech. And he says, Ko tomar al b'nei Yisrael, so shall you speak to the children. This is what you say to them. Hashem l'keh l'techem, God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov, has sent me, shlochani aleichem, has sent me to you. Zeshmi la'olam v'zeh zichri l'dor v'dor, this is my name for eternity. And this is how I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And then he gives instructions to Moshe, Lech, Osaf, and Zichnei, so go and gather the elders of Israel, and you should say to them, Hashem, okay, I always say to them, Eli, the God of your fathers, appear to me, okay, I've gone, Yitzhak, but Yaakov, Lamar, he appeared to me, and he said to me the great code words, I had remembered you, that that which is being done to you in Egypt, for Omar, I have said, I'm going to take you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, the Chiti, the Amori, the Prizi, the Chivi, and the Yebusi, some Tzveitimol, El Edet Zobar Schol of Advash. The first time it was said to Moshe, now Moshe is being instructed to tell that to the elders of Israel. The Shomer L'Kolecha. And God says, they're going to listen to your voice. Just in the back of your mind, remember this word, L'Kolecha. L'Kolecha. It does not say V'Shomu L'Kolecha. V'Shomu L'Kolecha. And we will see the difference. Okay. They didn't listen to your voice. Ubazar called his name, son, and you, the elders of Israel, should come, Elimelech Mitzrayim, to the king of Egypt, and you should say to him, God, the God of the Hebrews, appeared to us, and now, Nechonod, there is so yourself about me, but we're going to go for a journey of 3 days in the desert, and this before Hashem, where we are going to bring sacrifices to God, our God. Vanir Dati, I know. He's not going to let you go. The low beyond Hazakah, it's not going to happen unless I'm going to use my strong, mighty hand against him. He isn't going to let the 2-3 million gooses that are laying golden eggs for him every day. He's not letting them go. Shalakhi Yisrael, I will send out my hand. The Kati at Mitzrayim, the strike Mitzrayim, the Chol Niflo, Tai Asher Eseh B'Kirbo, with all my wonders that I shall do in his midst. V'Acharechein, after he gets the clock, the gazette's pretty hard, V'Acharechein, afterwards, Yishalach Eichem, he will say. V'Natati Eichem Ha'azeh V'Einim Mitzrayim, and I will give, what a strange thing, but it does happen in fact, that God gives the favor of the Jewish people in the eyes of Egypt, and you know what's going to happen? When you're going to leave Egypt, you're not going to go empty-handed. You're not going to go empty-handed. You know what's going to happen? The Shala Isha Mishkenta, each woman will ask of her neighbor, Umigorat Beitan, the one who lives in her house, and chesed, klisov, smolos, silver and gold and garments, the sons of the nekel, and take them, you're going to put them on your sons and on your daughters, and eat something at the time, you're going to empty Egypt. We've already over the years said a number of shurim on this, it's not to be understood as though, you know, it's okay for millions of people to suffer just as long as you go out at the end of the day for a heck of a lot of money. That is not Rav a number of times spoke, or Salvation spoke a number of times about the fact the wealth that Jews are going to take out of Egypt from the Egypt experience. There's a tremendous amount of wealth of a spiritual nature, of character of the Jewish people that is formed. In Mitzrayim we became the compassionate people of history. We became those who understand suffering more. Vayan Moshe, third refusal. Siruv Pikudar number 3, Vayan Moshe Vayomer. And this is a very strange one. Moshe says, "V'hein lo yaminu li," they're not going to believe me. "V'lo yishmu'u v'koli," they're not going to listen to my voice. "Ki yomru Because they're going to say, Lo Nirah Elah Hashem, God didn't appear to you. Now, first of all, the idea that Moshe casts aspersions on the Jewish people, they're not going to believe.
Yeah.
Well, who gives them the right to do that? Not only that, he puts words into the mouths of the Jewish people. To me, they're going to say, Lo Nirah Elah Hashem, God didn't appear to you. What's happened to Moshe? What's Moshe going to do? What's he saying? What's happening over here? If you don't want to go, alright, so don't go. But you now have to say, Lashon Hara, on Gan's Klal, that they're not believers, they're going to reject it. What's happening? Alright? So now it comes to the Rosh Hashem's response to this. You know, it's been a few days that this is going on. I say, yes, why doesn't he travel? And say, okay, Moshe, you know what? You like it out here in Midian? Okay. There are a lot of Moshean saviors in the sea. We'll find them all. By Yom Hashem, God said to Mazda, be Yodaka, what is that in your hand? By Yom, he said, Mazda's a staff. By Yom Hashem, he said, throw it down to the ground, and he threw it down to the ground, and it turned into a snake, and Moshe fled from before it. And God said to Moshe, stretch out your hand, hold on to its tail, and he did that, he stretched out his hand, and he held on to it, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. Turned into a staff. quite a fascinating Mofet, son. Leman Yaminu, in order that they should believe, Ki Nirah Elah Hashem L'Kerosom, in order that they should believe that God, the God of their fathers, appeared to you, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. I think this is the fourth time already that we've heard Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. By Yama Hashem Lord, and God said more to him, Havad Yodcha B'Chikecha, put your hand into your coat. And he did it, he put his hand into his coat, and he took it out, and so Rav Kashela, his hand is leprous, spiritual leprosy. Chazal said, because, you know, you talked a little Lashon Hara there about the Jewish people, you said that they're not going to believe, huh? No good. Ayama, then the Rebbeinu told him, Hashem Yodav, the Kekel put it back. By Yosef Yodav Al-Khaybu, put it back in. By Yosio, and then he took it out, and it's been a shovel. It's the skin has returned to its original color. Vahaya, Hashem says in Lo Yaminu Loch, if they're not going to believe you, Velo Yishmu, Lekol, Ha'otayisham. Not Bikol, Lekol. If they're not going to listen to the first sign, then I mean they're going to believe in the last, the second of the Kol Ha'otacharon. If they're not going to believe the two, the staff turned to snake, to staff, the hand leprous, and then healed. So then you know what you have to do? Well, Akhtami Memeha, your oil you'll take from the water of the Nile, but Shafakta, your Bosha, pour it out on the ground, Bohoyu Amayim, Shitikak, Mena, your oil, Bohoyu Ladam, Baya Bosha, the water is going to turn into blood. Alright? Here it is. The relation is now telling Moshe that you have ammunition now. You have three oysters, three signs that you're going to do with it. They're going to believe. Now, by the way, the Malam says that the difference between listening Likol and Bikol, big difference. Bikol means that I listen and I follow precisely what I've been told. Likol means, you know, I sort of listen, but it's not really complete. The relation never told Moshe, Vishomu Bikolecha. But that's not going to happen till after Sinai. They're going to listen to him, and they're not going to listen to him. So therefore, everything is very clear, exactly the way it's written here. If you want an example of what it means to listen precisely, Hashem tells Avraham, Kol asher tomar eilecha Sarah shma b'olam. Everything that Sarah tells you, listen b'olam, precisely. And therefore, when Sarah tells him, Garesh et ha'oma hazod v'dinah, cast out this maidservant and her son, the wealthy Avraham Avinu puts her on a donkey, gives her a canteen of water, and this will put, he could have sent her off with with maidservants and manservants and all sorts of great wealth. No. Sarah said, Garesh, cast her out. That's exactly what it does, because God said, Shma Tikola. God is being very, very honest with Moshe. Shomu Likolecha. And what did Moshe say? When Moshe, in third refusal, says, Hey, lo ya'aminu li, v'lo yishma'u bikoli. Even Moshe is not saying that they are just not going to believe anything, but they're not going to listen bikoli. No. All right, let's go. We've got to move quickly. Fourth refusal. And from this pasuk we're going to learn that the entire conversation took place over a period of 7 days. And we're not coming to day seven. A 7 day odyssey to the snap. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Moshe said to God, be Hashem, please God. Lo ish dvorim anochi, I'm not a man of words. Gam mitzvol, from yesterday. Gam mishulshon, also from the day before. Gam me'oz dabercha el avdecha, from when you started speaking to your servant. I am heavy of mouth and heavy of tongue. Now, Gemara learns from it. Rashi brings it. Tomorrow, yesterday, Shilshon, 2 days ago, a couple of 3 days. Three times Yam in another 3 days. So there we have 6 days and now the seventh day. Now I want to ask you one question. Reading this passage, forget everything you ever knew. Does Moshe Rabbeinu suffer from any kind of physical speech impediment?
Yeah.
He says, I can't speak since you started talking to me. May oz dabercha el avdecha. From the time you started talking to me, I can't talk. By the way, he's done quite a fine job of talking now for 7 days. If he really has a speech impediment, that should have been his first refusal. What are you sending me? I can't talk. If he really is suffering from a speech impediment, that should have been the first thing he said. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, you know how long it is that I can't speak? From the time you came and spoke to me. What's going on in this book? What's Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? What does he mean? What's so terrible about God speaking to him? All of a sudden God speaks to him, now he can't talk anymore, and he's heavy of tongue and heavy of mouth. Vayomer Hashem el Elav, God said to him, God is still patient. Mi som tel adam, who has given a man a mouth, or mi osum ilein, or who makes somebody mute, or who makes somebody not to hear, or can see, or blind. I'm the one, I take care of all of these things. You don't worry about your ability or inability to talk. I'll take care of that. Vatlanau, Lech. Go. Vanocheyen Picha. Still 7 days. And he's still. Anocheyen Picha, I'm going to be with your mouth. Vahore Picha, and I'm going to teach you Asher Tedaber. This is very important. I'm going to teach you what you should say. Wait a minute, if he has speech impediment, then God should be teaching him how to speak. It doesn't say that. I'm going to tell you what to say. Here we are. Fifth and final refusal. Vayomer, and Moshe said, Bli Hashem, please God, Shlach Notia Tishlach. Send anybody you want to send. You know what this means? This means that all of the last 7 days, Moshe was avoiding the truth. You know what he's saying? I want to go because Shlach Notia Tishlach is not a reason. It's just say, send anybody. It's not a reason anymore. It's like, kaka, on the wall. What does he mean? What does he mean? What a mystery. The great savior of the Jewish people, 7 days. He refuses God's request that he should go. And the Rebbeinu seems to be intent on getting him to go. Why didn't he trade him in? Why didn't he try somebody else? By Yichar Hashem Eleishen. Finally, you know, the Rebbeinu is human. he gets angry. What's not human about him is that it took him 7 days to get angry. But by Yichar Hashem Moshe, God gets angry with Moshe. By Yomi, he says, "Hello, Aaron, Achicha Halevi, your brother Aaron, the Levi, your daper, Loki, daper, daper, who he will speak. The Gamhi Neyot Zelik Vatech is going out toward you, the Rachov, so I will go and he will see you and he will be happy in his heart." The whole pasuk is a difficult pasuk to understand. Let me ask you, how many brothers does Moshe have?
One.
If the Russian would have said Adam, would that have been enough?
Yeah.
Well, there's one. All right. So maybe he has to say Adam or Chicha. Now, why does God have to describe him as a lady? I mean, isn't his brother Aaron a lady? I don't know that. Russian, what are you telling me? And here is really the classic example of, yeah, what, maybe you'll tell me his Tudat Zehut number also, his identity number. Aaron Achicha Halevi. I know that he will speak, and he's going out toward you, and the Rishon even has to assure him, Barak, he'll see you in the Samad Bolivon, and he's going to be happy in his heart. What is Moshe afraid of? What's Moshe afraid of? And the fact is, few psukim later, as Moshe begins the journey to Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu quickly gets in touch with Aaron and tells Aaron, do me a favor, your brother's coming, go out toward him. It's all set up. Rebbeinu's pulling the strings over here. The Dibarta Elohim. You'll speak to Aaron, the Santa Santor and the Fifth, you'll put the words in his mouth. Really? The big talker is going to put the words in his mouth. Vonochi again, Picha, I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. Vorechi etchem, and I'm going to instruct you with Asher Tassim what you should do. Vidibedhu lechol ha'am, and he will speak for you to the people. He will be a mouth for you. You are going to be his master in this undertaking. Don't forget your stick. Take it along with you. I should toss the boat. I'll tell you you're going to do the all these wonders. Right, that's the parsha. We've asked a lot of questions. I'll tell you how I read the parsha. And I'll tell you the story that was behind it. In January of 1974, it was 3 months after the Yom Kippur War, and the first major group to visit Eretz Yisrael were the Rabbinical Council of America. I think there were 250 Rabbonim, a whole jumbo jet that were going to visit Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be a visit of Nichum Avelim. The country was bleeding. Most soldiers were still on the front lines. It had been a terrifying period of time. Country was in a terrible, terrible state of depression. The war was referred to as the Mechdal, the tragic mistake. And so, of course, I joined the group. In the week or so before the journey, I was having all sorts of, my conscience was bothering me. Things were bothering me. Take a look at this, you know. I can imagine what we will look like, the big spiritual leaders of the United States of America, are coming to a country that is in a deep mourning. We're going to come with our cameras, you know, light meters, you know. We're going to be visiting the big tourists. The tourists. Very difficult. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Because I have this feeling, you know what they're going to think? Where were you?
Yeah.
What were you doing? Yeah, you were raising money for UJA, we know.
Okay.
That was real tremendous self-sacrifice. You were wasting nefesh for another pledge card to UJA. Okay. All right, yeah, you must probably daven, and you said tilling. Yeah, that's all wonderful. But that Yom Kippur afternoon, hundreds of thousands of our young people and others left shul and went off to the front lines, and then close to 3,000 never came back. It was a big, big blow, big loss. And here the fancy, hotshot, modern Orthodox rabbis of the United States of America are coming for this great visit. I had even heard a report of a close friend of mine, was married and living here, that he was missing in action. For heaven's sake, I'm going to have to go visit his wife. What am I going to say? Well, I'm really sorry. Okay. You're sorry. I really feel bad, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. You just keep feeling bad. And then when you're 10 days on off the others, then you'll just go back to America and that's it. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu's problem is? He doesn't begin to understand the Rabbeinu Shlomo at all. In the whole world, there's only one Jew who's not in Mitzrayim. There's only one Jew in the whole world who's not suffering with them. And he's the one you're going to send? Take any Jew in Egypt, far more worthy of being Moshe Yoshe Yisrael. How can you come over there to Mitzrayim, you understand? How you been doing, Moshe? Yeah? Tell me, taking the sheep with the Halil and sitting on Main Menuchot over there? How's your wife, right, Billy? Everybody fine? Moshe Rabbeinu feels so small in the presence of Jews, whatever they are. But they have been suffering with their people all these years. But you get to choose the one single solitary Jew in the whole world who's not there. You know what it reminds me of? There's a famous story. It's not only another story. After the Shoah, there were some people who came to ask the Satmar Rebbe for a bracha. So he said, don't ask me a bracha. You know what? Go into shul and you see somebody who rolls up his arm and there's a number. Ask him for a bracha. You know what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying? Chavetzom, you need a savior? I don't care who it is. Take any Jew in Egypt. These are the Gibbonim, the mighty ones of Israel. Not me. Not me. And then, what am I going to say when I get there? Moshe Rabbeinu can talk. What am I going to I'm going to make some... meaningless comment. I'm really so sorry that your husband is missing in action, you understand? It must be terrible, yeah, he must, you know. We usually mess it up when we have to try and console people. I go to the hospitals over there and visit the sick, the infirm, those who've lost limbs. I don't know what to say to them, Rishon. You can't send me. You can't send me. I can't do it. Every question that we ask is answered. Mi anochi ki elech el Paro. First refusal. Who am I that I should go to Paro and that I should take the Jewish people out of Egypt? Me? The only Jew of the world who hasn't been there for the last 50, 60 years? Me? I'm the one. You're kidding. You don't really get it. In his second refusal, he says, hey, lo yaminu li, they're not going to believe me. He's not casting aspersions on the Jewish people. You know what he's saying? Me, they're not going to believe. The lo yishnu makoli, me, they're not going to listen to. She yomra, because they're going to say, lo nira elecha, God didn't appear to you. Or he could have appeared to any one of the other 2 million Jews out there. Me? The guy that's been out here the whole time. And then you know what else he says to the Galatian? From the time that you appeared to me and you told me go back to Egypt, I can't talk. I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to come there on the block where I used to live in the time. And I'm going to see almanis, and I'm going to see yesenim, and I'm going to see people who are infirm, people who've been hurt, and people who are just falling under the daily pressure, the slavery. I don't know what to say. May all daberko el avderko, from the time that you started speaking to me, I'm kvad peh and kvad water. I can't speak. I don't know what to say. Here I am, yeah, sure, I can be the big rabbi who can say drashes in West Hempstead, but I'm going to be a little babbling fool when I come in front of people who have suffered so terribly, and they must be thinking in the back of their mind. Okay, so they came to visit, you know, and they came with their cameras, and they're taking pictures, they're going to go back and get it, have enough drashes to say for the next 2 months. When I was,
yes.
When I spoke to, when I did. That's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. In his final refusal, he's serious when he says, Shlach, no b'yam tishlach. Send anybody you want to. Because every other Jew in the world has been suffering the same fate as his fellow Jews. They're all better than me. And stuff has nothing to do with humility. I'm afraid to say I had these same feelings. I'm not so humble, you understand? But I know that I had the problem. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Go to fellow who had been my chavrus and he's missing in action. What am I going to say? So the convention gets angry. And then he tells him, listen, Aaron Achicha HaLevi, the Levim were also not enslaved in Egypt. He's your brother. Do you know that they love him in Egypt? Because you know what they know about Aaron? That he cares about them. That he suffers with them. That he commiserates with them. He's the one who visits the sick. He's the one who's the Nachem Avelim. He will introduce you. By the way, when Hashem says he will speak for you, you'll see the psukim later, Aaron speaks for Moshe only one single solitary time. The first time when he introduces him. After that, no more is necessary. And you know what I believe the Rebbeinu also tells Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe, the Jewish people have a long memory. You know what they remember? You were the first one who stood up to defend a Jew who was being beaten. And you killed the Mitzri that day. And they also remember of all the terrible things that two Jews are the ones who informed power of what you've done. They also know that you were sentenced to death. They also knew that you were saved miraculously and you fled for your life. They haven't forgotten that. You're concerned? Why doesn't the Russian trade him in during the whole week for somebody else? Because you know what it means? The more Moshe refuses, the more the Russian wants him. Because what's at the heart of his refusal? A tremendous respect for the value of every Jew. That's what a leader is supposed to have. That's the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu's leadership. Every Jew has great, infinite, awesome value. Oh, that's exactly what the Rabbeinu wants. Then it's going to be interesting, at the beginning of next week's Seder, Parshat Va'era, when from the time that Moshe arrived, things have gotten worse. And then she told him, go to Paro, speak to the Jewish people. So he says, Ve'anochi arau svatayim. Arau svatayim means my lips are cut, or my lips are completely shut. That's a different description than the one that he gives here. Over here he says, he's kvar loshen, means I have difficulty speaking, but I can get something out. Do you know how Moshe Rabbeinu feels after his coming has now intensified the pain of his people? Mm-hmm. He can't utter a word. By the way, the different descriptions of his condition are proof exactly to what I'm saying. He's not suffering from a physical impediment. I know you're thinking about the medrash with the coals. But there's always a way to understand the depth of what the medrash is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu does not have a physical impediment. Moshe Rabbeinu has an emotional one. Look at these people; they suffered. What can I say? By the way, we have it very often when we have to go to the Menachem Avil. It's one of the last kinds of visits that we like to make. And we don't really know. And we don't really know what to say. We don't really know the real tragedy. So what can you say? What can you say? So what can he say? He doesn't know what to say. He's going to go to the hospital and say, Mitzvah. And there are people that have lost limbs. They'll never be the same again. What's there to say, you know? I'm so sorry. I'm really so sorry. This is a Moshe Rabbeinu for every single solitary Jew in the whole world has for him infinite value. That's exactly why the Shalom. That's exactly why God wants him. That's what's taking place over here. It's not some kind of humility on his part. Humility is never ever an excuse. I'm not going to jump into the water to save his life because I'm very, very humble. Nonsense. Over here, this is serious. He's really, in a very nice way, it's not that he's refusing. You know what he's doing? He's telling the Rebbe Shalom, you're wrong! You made the wrong choice! Hey, Bethel or Shmetel or Yankel in Mitzrayim! Not me! Different way of looking at it. It was all the result of, this is how I felt that week before the journey. And I looked over the sedra, and I said, hey, I know what's happening in this sedra. I know what's happening in this parsha. The end of the story, we went, and I remember the difficulty. I had to go to Bayit Vagan in a state I can't describe. And it was pouring. I came to the house, and I knocked on the door, and I was hoping nobody was home. And I'm standing there drinking, and his wife opens the door. Shalom! Thing. How's Dad? He's home. He's fine. Everybody's okay. And then we also found something else. You know? You know what was troubling Jews in Eretz Yisrael then more than anything else? They were afraid that their fellow co-religionists in the world had forgotten them. Nobody in the world was, nobody was visiting. Nothing. All of a sudden, 200, 250 Rambanim were going here, there. It had a tremendous effect of great encouragement. You know? Sometimes you have to do things that very, very difficult to do because you have to be able to step outside of yourself and look at it from the other person's point of view. That was the drasha that I said in West Hempstead, Shabbos Parashas Shemos, 1974. And the following day, we left Eretz Yisrael. It was the longest drasha I ever gave. It took me 25 minutes. And I never speak 25 minutes. But I'll tell you one thing for sure. I looked out at that shul. Nobody was sleeping. Nobody fell asleep. They were all looking at me intently. Because I was very, very emotional when I said this shit. Very, very emotional. And essentially, don't talk to any rabbi to me. Don't, nobody. The message I want to be is the Rav has a responsibility to be to have great respect for the members of his congregation. That's the secret. That's the secret. I remember then I was drenched when I finished the brush. Then it turned out to be a very, very beautiful journey. I did took my Bechor, our firstborn. I took him because it was 2 or 3 weeks before his 12th birthday. And in those days, you know, when you could still get a ticket, you know, that didn't cost $1,500 or $2,000. So he got the less than half price. So I took him along. He was a mascot. He's today one of the builders of turned a city in Namek Israel Afula into a great, great place of Torah. We're very, very proud of what he's done. Maybe it was that before his 12th birthday, a visit would be there as well. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
My son was in Israel Mayor's Yeshiva that night, and we couldn't get through on the telephone.
war. Believe